Welcome to the Allison Lombatis Show, a podcast to help women discover and rediscover their confidence and style. I'm Allison Lombatis, and I am delighted to have you here. On today's episode, I'm speaking with Shannon, a small business owner and content creator in her late 40s, who has been struggling to find her identity in the last year. A recent health diagnosis prompted her to make some major changes in her life that have left her feeling insecure about her new figure and concerned that she's too old to wear the latest trends. During our conversation today, Shannon shares her realization that she was hiding in her clothes, the awkward feelings that came from growing up as the tall kid, and what it's been like finally giving away the clothes that she had been holding on to for so long. If you haven't subscribed to the show yet, please take a moment to do it now. I've got an incredible lineup of episodes for you in the coming weeks, and I don't want you to miss a thing. If you enjoyed listening to the show, I would be so grateful if you'd take a moment to rate it and leave a review. I know it seems like a silly thing, but your rating and review really do help, especially for new shows like this one. We're going to chat with Shannon shortly, but first, will you join me and my producer, Lauren, for a coffee chat? Hey, Lauren, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm excited to be back. I'm really excited to talk about the topic you brought today. I was thinking about this morning, and this is one of those big sister moments for me. You are my honorary big sister. And when I think about some of the stuff that I have in my makeup bag and in my skincare routine, it is all because of you. So I am really excited to see and hear about what you brought for our coffee chat today.
Well, I'm honored to be your big sister because I am the little sister in my family and I never got to be a big sister. So I think that's why I love Alpha Formula so much, because I'm like, oh, I get to be the big sister now. It's so fun. But yeah, so I want to talk a little bit about skincare today because I feel like this is something I've been asked so many questions about recently on social media. And it's something I've kind of been focusing on a little bit more lately too. I don't know why, but when the seasons change, it's like my skin goes crazy and changes. And I've started to use some new products recently, not entirely different as far as like ingredient wise from some of the stuff that I've used over the past few years. But I want to share how my skincare routine has updated and what I feel like I'm getting a lot of bang for my buck with at this point in time.
Okay. This is amazing. I am going to be taking notes because I literally went into the drugstore here in Canada. We have Shoppers Drug Mart. And I asked the guy working at the cosmetics counter and I said, I'm feeling like when I first started looking after my skin, I saw this, like, I noticed this brightness in my skin. Like it felt like it, which makes sense, right? From zero to nothing, you're going to notice like a significant change. And ever since then, in the last year or so, I've been like, I don't know, I'm just not feeling it. I'm seeing so many things online. I'm seeing also, like, I don't know if this is just like the trendy thing of the moment, but I'm seeing a ton of people talking about red light therapy. I don't know if that's anything that's on your radar, but tell me all the things, Allison. Tell me what you've been doing because I am ready for an update.
I love all the things. Okay. And I'm always willing to try anything, like seriously, as far as like skincare treatments, all the things are concerned. I have a few friends that own med spas, which is like the best position to be in because they're like, hey, we got this new thing. Do you want to try it? I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll give that a try. But yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned, you know, that loss of that glowiness, because I feel like there is kind of like this honeymoon period that we have when we try new products and you're getting a lot of good cell turnover. And that's what's causing your skin to start glowing again. And then over time, especially as we're coming out of winter and into spring, our complexions are starting to get really dull again because of dry skin. And, you know, we need to exfoliate a little bit more. And honestly, as we get older, unfortunately, what happens is that cell turnover slows down. So it's even more important to do the things that are going to exfoliate, that are going to kind of get to those glowier layers of skin, honestly. And one of my favorite products for that is tretinoin. I always struggle to say that word, tretinoin. And this is a retinoid. I have used retinoids in various forms for many, many years, but I just switched to this one within the past 3 months or so. And I'm kind of titrating up on the amount of active ingredient in it because this is a prescription. So just like, you know, a retinoid that you would need to get from your dermatologist, it's kind of that same thing because it is a little bit stronger than the stuff that you can buy over the counter. But I've noticed a huge difference with this product. It does make my skin get a little bit irritated, A lot of retinoids do that. You just kind of have to take it slow. If you start to get a lot of irritation, flaking, peeling, that kind of thing, redness, then you cut back and do it, you know, like every other night and build up on it. But the thing I love about this one, I get it from a company called Agency, and it's called their Future Formula. They're actually a subscription, which is fine because I run out of it. I mean, if you're using the proper amount, you're going to need to replenish it. This bottle lasts me about 2 months. You send them in a picture, which is super cool. And they analyze your skin, makeup free. You send like a front view and side views on both sides. And then you answer like all of these questions in the questionnaire, and they create a personalized formula for you. And it doesn't just have tretinoin in it. It's got a few other ingredients like niacinamide and some other things that help with moisturization, help your skin like retain moisture, not just keep it, but retain it. No, those are the same things. I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but basically there's like two different ways, like hyaluronic acid works differently than if you just put something on your face to create moisture, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But it has these four different ingredients in it. And then over time, they slowly increase the active ingredients so that it continues to work, so that you don't lose like that honeymoon effect that you're getting when you first start using a product. So I would have to say like, this is my secret weapon right now, hands down, that I am like singing from the rooftops, telling all of my friends about, you know, it's that kind of thing. Like, oh my gosh, you guys just have to try this. It's so good. And the cool thing about retinoids is you can start using them in your 20s. Like my 25-year-old daughter's using it because she's having a lot of breakouts and things. And because it helps with that cell turnover, it can also help with acne. It helps with scars. It helps with dark spots, wrinkles, you name it. So it's for everybody.
This is amazing. So when you're saying that they're ramping up your dosage, you're saying this company, like they are specifically changing your formula as your subscription?
Yes.
Okay, that's a game changer. That's amazing. Love this. Yeah. And I also want to ask, I feel like this is a skincare newbie question, but I'm going to ask it because I know other people that probably are also going to want to know, is this a nighttime thing? I feel like retinoid can be harsh with the sun. So retinoids, you always put on your skin as part of your nighttime skincare, not the morning. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yes. And this, you use a very small amount. Like it dispenses the exact amount I need for my entire face. And it is less than a pea size amount. Put it on before bed. Good point. Nighttime is the best time to use retinoids because there's some, I don't even know what the science is behind it, but there is a reason why our skin responds better when we're sleeping. And also another good point is you must wear sunscreen when you're using anything with retinol, retinoid in it, because it does make your skin more sensitive to sun and you will burn easier and all the things. So it's super important to not wear this during the day and to make sure that you're using a good sunscreen when you are.
Absolutely. Okay. I'm putting that on my list. What else do you have for us today?
All right. So this one's probably not applicable to you, but because I am menopausal age, I have started using estriol cream. And this is just a very weak form of estrogen. It helps to boost collagen production. Honestly, I don't think it can hurt for anyone to use it. It doesn't get into your system. It's not like you're, you know, getting systemic estrogen in your bloodstream or anything like that. It doesn't increase your lab levels by any stretch, but it is just a cosmetic cream that you can use on your face. And I truly believe that this helps just to kind of plump my skin up. It is definitely, I can see a difference with collagen production, and I love it. I've been using it for probably about 6 months now. I use it as a moisturizer, and you can use it on top of this. That's the cool thing about the Future Formula, is that you can apply any of your, you know, serums, moisturizers, et cetera, on top of that, and just kind of layer your ingredients in your skincare routine. If you're going to do that, it's recommended that you start with anything lighter first, like serums that are going to absorb into your skin a little bit easier, and then you move up in thickness. So your thicker moisturizers and things like that are going to be your last steps that you do in the skincare routine. But that is another product that I am just thoroughly in love with, and I feel like is one of those additional steps in my routine that I've added in recently. I have very sensitive skin. So my skincare routine is very simplified. I think at one point in time, I was probably using too many products, creating a lot of irritation and, you know, breakouts and all the things. And now I just have a very simple, I use a sensitive skin wash in the shower, like a Cetaphil, or sometimes I use a cleansing balm that's very hydrating, that removes all of my makeup. And then I put on my anti-aging ingredients and my moisturizer and go to bed. Morning, same thing. Wash face with gentle cleanser, put on my moisturizer with sunscreen, then apply my makeup if I'm going to wear makeup that day. But I like to keep it really short and simple.
I love that. Love that. Are any of the products that you have talked about so far, are any of them prescription? Or are they all like over-the-counter online things?
So the tretinoin is a prescription and the agency prescribes it to me. But you can get retinoids over-the-counter that are pretty powerful. Actually, I used Rock Retinol Cream for years and I had really good results with that. I have used L'Oreal's retinol. They have a nighttime formula that worked really well and was hydrating as well. So you can get those products over the counter too. You don't necessarily have to go the prescription route with them, but when you're kind of ready for the more heavier artillery in your toolbox, then that's when you move to the prescription.
And then also something that I just thought of, because I've made this mistake myself, so I'm sharing so that nobody else hopefully will make this mistake. I was the person where, you know, I heard somebody on a show talking about a bunch of different skincare products. I'm like, okay, this is great. And I went out and I bought everything. And then I came home and I started using them and all of a sudden my face exploded and I had little red bumps everywhere. And because I had changed everything all at once, I had no idea which of those products was not working for me. So this is my PSA to the general public that anytime you're changing anything with your skincare, one product at a time. So introduce one thing and that way you'll know if you're having a reaction, it's because that one thing changed and you can pull that out of your routine versus diving into the deep end and then you have no idea and then you have to backpedal and figure it out. So live and learn.
So smart. Yes. I've done the same thing. I'm like, okay, which thing is irritating my face right now? I do that with supplements too. I like add in a bunch at one time and then I'm like, oh, I feel good. Or I'm having this side effect and oh, wait, maybe I should just try one thing at a time. Don't change up too much.
All right. So we've got some great tips and advice about skincare products. What about if we're looking for something a little bit more? I know I've got my 11s are coming in strong here. My husband always asks me, honey, why are you angry surfing the internet on your phone? And then I go, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not. So I can definitely see Botox in my future. Any tips, any advice? Have you done it? Is this a taboo thing? Are we going to go there today?
We're going there so hard. Yes. Yes. I'm about 35. And I remember I was at work one day and I was sitting in my cubicle and one of my coworkers walked by and she's like, why do you look so serious? Is everything okay? And I realized that I'm just like scowling. And that was about the time when I first started Botox. And like I said, I have friends that own med spas. Shout out to my good friend, Kim Welch at the Pearl Med Spa. She helps me with all the things and educates. And she's such an amazing injector. And it's such an art form. I have just massive respect for that. But I have been doing Botox for quite a few years. And I do it for a number of reasons. Number one, it makes me feel more confident. And this is a judgment-free zone, guys. Like the thing that you need to know about this show, about everything that we do, it is a judgment-free zone. I am never going to judge another woman for doing something that is making her show up in the world feeling more confident. So please keep that in mind if we ever have haters or all the comments and things. And I do get people on social media that say, oh my gosh, you do Botox. I'm like, yes, I do. And I own that. I own it fully.
Proudly, where's my badge?
Yes, official Botox lady. I get it about every 4 to 6 months. At first, I started with the 11s, which I think is like called the globula. I don't know. I'm using probably the wrong word there. And then I started doing it on my forehead because I have a very expressive, I get told all the time, you have a heavy brow, you have a very expressive forehead with very strong muscles, which creates more wrinkles. So I did start doing my forehead after, you know, I first took care of the 11s. And then as time went by, now I do this area on my crow's feet too. So I do those three areas now. Again, it's about every 4 to 6 months. Over time, it starts to wear off a little bit more quickly. So there are other products out there in addition to Botox. There are other brand names. There's Dysport. There's a bunch of them out there right now so that you can just kind of like experiment with different ones and see what works best for you and with your chemistry. And I've always wanted to go to somebody who has like a lighter hand with it. I do like to still be able to lift my brows, have that expression in my face, all of those things. And you can share that with your practitioner and let them know exactly what you're looking for, what you want to achieve, and just have that, you know, good open dialogue with them about it. And bonus is that it helps me with my headaches too. I used to get debilitating headaches. And I noticed like towards the end when my Botox is starting to wear off, I'll start to get like these really bad headaches again. So it does have you know, that benefit as well. If you're somebody who suffers from really bad headaches, I know that there some doctors are able to prescribe it as a treatment for that too. So I'm just going to sing the praises of Botox all day long. But what other questions do you have? Because I'm here for it.
Well, I mean, I think everyone wants to know, how much does it cost?
It varies drastically. I'm in Dallas, and I would say average is about $10 to $12 per unit, depending on how many units you need. If you're just getting started out, you know, maybe you're going to start on the lower end with 25 to 30 units, and then it's going to kind of go up over time. The cool thing about it too is that over time, it helps to prevent wrinkles, because think about it, if you're not using those muscles, the skin is not getting wrinkled in those areas. So it does kind of have like that cumulative effect. I am a member of a Botox club. Did not know this existed, but I pay a one-time annual fee. And then I get my Botox for $9 a unit every time I go after that. So it's kind of one of those things that pays for itself after my first visit. So it is going to vary, you know, depending upon what city you're in, but I would say probably national average is around there. I don't know in Canada if that's pretty much on par, but I would guess that it is.
All right. Well, I will have to call investigation. Thank you for those tips. We will make sure we'll link Kim's spa in our show notes as well. If you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and you're looking for an injector you can trust, tell them Allison Lombata sent you. And if you have any other questions about Botox, drop them in the comments for us. If you're watching us on YouTube, hop right in there. Let us know what your questions are. We will be happy to respond or even address them in a future coffee chat. And we will link everything Allison mentioned for you in the show notes at allisonbattis.com/podcast. Now, are we ready to dive into your chat with Shannon?
Yes, let's get to it. Here is Shannon's style story. Well, hello, Shannon, and welcome to the show. I'm so excited to chat with you today because we have been online friends for a few years now, and you have been an Outfit Formulas member also for a few years now. So I would love if you could just give a quick introduction to our audience and tell us a little bit more about you.
So I'm Shannon Hinderberger. I am a mom, small business owner, wannabe fashionista, content creator. That's really hard to sum up everything I do. Mostly I'll tell people like, oh, I own a business. It's a marketing company. But things have changed so much in the last year. I'm just like, who am I? Who am I really? And I'm really embracing like the content creator life and the small business owner life. And my kids are teens and tweens. And so I'm trying to soak up as much of that as I can because I know it's going to go super fast. I live in Bend, Oregon, and I would want to spend a little more time outside, but it's snowing today. How many days away are we from spring? 19. But it's snowing, so I try to enjoy the outdoors. I'm originally from Omaha, Nebraska, and I've lived in Oregon for 20 years, and I can't imagine living anyplace else. So, and I'm a live music fanatic, so you'll see me going to live music festivals here and there if you follow me on Instagram and things like that.
I love following you on Instagram because you are an amazing content creator. You are so brave and stepping out there. And it's just been a fun journey watching you. I think I've been watching you since you really just kind of were getting started in that space. And
yeah,
seeing the transformation and seeing how you show up so confidently on camera is inspiring to me, if I'm being honest.
Thank you. I got a degree in broadcasting that I never used. I used it for a whole 9 months. I might have told you the story, but your listeners haven't heard it. When I was a little girl, all I wanted to be when I grew up was a news anchor, and I would play news anchor in the basement. And then I went to school at the University of Nebraska and the University of Nebraska at Omaha, and I won a coveted paid internship. I was able to go work at a TV station, and the first day in, they asked what I wanted to do. And I was like, I want to be a TV anchor. And they're like, yeah, you don't have the look. And it crushed me, and it helped me back from showing up in pictures, in videos for nearly 20 years. And then I started my own business, and my friend challenged me to start making videos because she was a small business owner too. And she's like, you know what? And that time I was in social media marketing. Nobody in this area, in our area, so nobody in the social media world in the Central Oregon area was making thought leadership videos. And she said, we should be the people that do that. And so I started making videos. She didn't. And it's been like that since 2018, just making sure I make videos every week. And part of the making the videos has a lot to do with outfit formulas, because I was one of those people that was stressed about getting dressed because I was wearing yoga pants. And so you were literally talking to me when I was listening to the Sorta Awesome podcast. You were talking directly to me, and I downloaded the freebie, and it's been one of my favorite things ever since.
Oh my gosh. Ah, there's so much I love about this story. Oh my gosh, I want to dig into this. So first off, the fact that you show up and that messaging from so many years ago, you're like, I am worthy of being in this space, and I am worthy of showing up on camera. And, you know, it's so hard when we're hearing these negative messages sometimes growing up. And so many of us experience this, that just kind of crush our dreams, and really just having that true belief in yourself and your calling, and just seeing what you do. Like, I can truly see that this is the space that you belong in. This is your calling, and really just following that instinct and trusting that is such a beautiful thing. So thank you for showing up. Thank you for inspiring us. I know that that's not an easy thing to do. And I want to talk to you a little bit more today about one of the things that you wrote in your pre-show application, was that a space that you're struggling with in your style right now is that you have recently lost weight and you're struggling to show off your curves. So tell me a little bit more about that.
So about 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. And the doctor was like, I'm like, well, what do I need to do to not take medication? And he's like, well, you're going to have to take medication. But the one thing that you could do is lose weight. And I was 47 and I had been trying to lose weight. And I just said, I've been trying diet and exercise and I don't know what else to do. And so the doctor was like, well, maybe you should go talk to a nutritionist. The nutritionist was like, diet and exercise. I'm like, I am perimenopausal and that is not working. And I don't know what happened, but I got down the rabbit hole of weight loss GLP-1 meds on TikTok and was like, wait, there's something out there that will help me with this. Like, I had no idea there was medication for weight loss. And I started working with Sequence and then Mochi Health. They're both weight loss. One's now owned by Weight Watchers. The other one, they're still themselves. But it's really funny. Like, I didn't know this existed and I didn't know there were these tools there. And I started working with these obesity medicine specialists and I have lost 60 pounds in 14 months. And in the last 6 months, I've kept it off. What happened was I've completely changed my wardrobe in the last 18 months. And about 6 months ago, people started telling me, stop wearing the baggy clothes. Because every day for content creation practice, I will either do the outfit of the day, or I'll just wear something else in my closet. And I also need to talk about my toxic trait later we'll talk about my toxic trait later that has to do with outfit formulas. You'll laugh. So people started telling me, because I was posting my outfit every day and I was practicing content creation, like, the stuff you're wearing is too baggy. And I was holding on to things that I should have just given away. And so there's probably a video 6 months ago where I completely threw all the clothes on the ground on the carpet in my bedroom. And it was a big pile and it's been completely overhauled since, which a lot of people think is inexpensive, but if you're capsule wardrobing, it's actually not. And it's actually pretty inexpensive to do that because you have 20 things and 30 plus ways to wear them. And I always try to find more ways to wear them. So if you come out with 3 ways to wear a flannel, this isn't flannel, but a flannel top, I will find it. That my toxic trait is finding at least 6 more ways out of the 3 more ways you told us.
No, I think that is an amazing trait to have. The more ways that you can wear things, I'm all about it. And I love that you provide the inspiration to all of us on social media and show us some new and different ways to wear things. So how did it feel to finally get rid of all those baggy clothes?
So it was really scary because at size 16, I had invested in denim. Good American jeans were a staple I was always buying, and those aren't cheap, and NYDJ. So I ended up, I think, if I remember correctly, I have half of them still because I have another friend that's losing weight. And so I'm going to give them to her. And the other half, I found somebody, a mom that needed clothes after she had lost weight from 20 from being a size 20 to 16. So it felt great to give it to somebody that was also losing weight, but it also felt like, well, what if I gain the weight back? And I guess the thing I really had to get in the mindset of is I'm not going to gain the weight back kind of mindset. It felt great to give them away, but also terrifying to give them away because I'd spent a lot of money on those jeans because that's a lot of what I wear is jeans. But then the people saying like, you're still not showing your curves. Like I thought I was showing my curves. And then I didn't realize how much I was hiding myself before for that. So now I'm just really trying to embrace like, am I showing off? I mean, I could have been showing off my size 16. No problem. I looked great then, but now I'm a size 12, 10, 12. And I'm just kind of like, oh my gosh, I really wasn't showing my size to my full potential.
So do you feel like you were more comfortable with your curves at size 16 than you do now?
Yes, I felt more comfortable then than I do now. And just kind of like, wow, what changed is the thing. So, and I've been trying to unpack that with, you know, talking to friends and talking to people in my own community, because I have a community of people that follow all my things and will message me, or they'll say in the comments, like, you're not showing yourself there. And it's like, oh, I'm really trying, guys. So I really told myself this spring that I was going to make sure I bought things that kind of accentuated my current body, which I don't know if I'm like an apple or a triangle or what. So I've been trying to figure that out too.
Yes, it's a worthy pursuit. And I feel like it's a new muscle that you're exercising and it's going to get easier over time. And we'll definitely dig into that a little bit more later on. But I wanted to also ask you another thing that you had stated in your pre-show questionnaire was that you are maybe uncomfortable with some styles because you feel like they're not age appropriate for you. So I'd love to hear about that too.
I was thinking about this morning. My daughter is 12 and she wears baggy jeans and a crop top. And I don't feel like that. Some people have suggested like a crop t-shirt and some baggy jeans because I have baggy jeans, but I'm just thinking like maybe baggy jeans isn't my thing. I know for sure that when I look at the outfit formulas and wide leg or baggy jeans are part of it, I will find something that's more straight legged. But I will say there were some Madewell like cream pants in the winter capsule that I hope are in the spring capsule that I absolutely love that have kind of gotten me over that hump of the wide leg. So I really think it has to do with the shoes you put with it. So I'm like learning that shoes are definitely like, if I want to wear those, it has to do with the shoes is one thing. And I can't really, and also with the layers, I can't like make the layers of that baggy. I have to show something from it. If that makes sense. I guess that's hard to explain.
It makes total sense. It's about the proportions. And when you're doing the baggier jeans on bottom, you want to do something a little bit more fitted on top. And maybe it doesn't necessarily have to be the crop top, but it can be something that can help to balance out those proportions. And the right shoes too, you're right. With the wide leg jeans, sometimes they look better with a little bit of a heel, whether it's like a heeled ankle boot or sandal or something like that. It's going to give you a little bit of that height and it's going to help to balance those proportions too. But I love that you also mentioned body shape. Again, we will talk a little bit more about this later, but really figuring out which pieces are going to fit and flatter your body now are going to help you step out more confidently in those pieces. So other than, you know, really dressing for your curves and finding pieces that feel true to you as far as being appropriate, are there any other challenges that come to mind when it comes to style?
That's the only challenge. That and like trying to find different ways to wear things in my closet. But I have figured out Pinterest is the cheat code for that. People are like, how did you style that green dress like 8 ways, Mike? Pinterest. I just went to Pinterest and said, put it in. Like, so it's kind of like my thing. I just joke. It's my toxic trait that I will take those cream pants and find 6 more ways to wear them. My style book, you should see it. It's 100 styles probably per season based off what you guys put out.
That is amazing. Amazing. So I feel like that's something that's really working for you right now with your style is making the most out of the pieces that you have. What else would you say you feel like you're just hitting the nail on the head right now?
With style, really just trying to, I guess it's like really just trying to embrace like some of the trends. Like I really clung to the skinny jeans. I was having this conversation with my friend Meredith yesterday. Like she was just like, I just need to get rid of all the skinny jeans. Like, And I was like, have you tried? And there's a pair of, there's a style of jeans that Old Navy has, the Wow Flares, that come in like several different colors. And I was like, get those, because flares will look good on our body shape. And she bought them and she did this amazing video and tagged me in it, like, these jeans are amazing. So just trying to take things that feel dated and what is the swap, or the, not the dupe, but the swap for them. And so I got rid of all my skinny jeans. I don't think I have any more, but just embracing the trends and not feeling like at 49 that I'm trying to be 20.
I love that you're finding these pieces that kind of bridge the gap in the transition. And you said, you know, you weren't ready to dive into the wide leg or the baggy jeans, so you started doing the straight jeans, and then you're like slowly transitioning into that. And I think that's so important for the experimentation process and style, is really just figuring out what feels comfortable to me right now. And what am I willing to experiment with and find that is going to work? And then if you try a new trend and it doesn't work for you, then just saying, hey, that one doesn't work for me. I tried it and I'm going back to this, or I'm going to try something else. So great example. And you are absolutely nailing many aspects of your style. So I want to hear about your style story. So for those of you who aren't yet familiar with the show's format, one of the things we do is we delve a little bit deeper into everyone's style story, because we want to learn more about some of the influences and the experiences that we've had all the way from childhood to adulthood, really, that have affected us, that, you know, include our clothing choices and the options that we've had available to us. But these are also some of those messages that we've heard around style, both from our own choices as well as the rules that we may have had imposed upon us. So Shannon, did you have a chance to look through any of your old photos before coming on the show today?
I did look through them, and I feel like every time I look at them, I'm like, who is that person? Because like I lost 60 pounds, and I was just looking at videos that I made 2 years ago. So I have this office space, and I had moved into it, not this particular one, but down the hall, there was another one I was in, and I looked completely different. And I was wearing leggings with a white t-shirt and then a long cardigan over it, and I think some slides. And I felt like I was showing my curves then, but then I was just like, I wouldn't wear that today. I would not wear that today. And I was trying to figure out why. Why wouldn't I not wear that today? But I felt it looked good then, but then I felt like if I wore that now, it'd look just baggy. When I started Outfit Formulas in 2018 was right when I started my social media marketing agency. And I was just wearing yoga pants every day. Before that, though, and before even going back to high school, I was always the kid that dressed nice to school. I would not be that child that rolled out of bed and went to college classes with my hair in a bun and looking like I just rolled out of bed. I would get up early, fix my hair, put on the makeup, and make sure that I was dressing the part of whatever I wanted to be. So then I wanted to be working in, you know, television broadcast news. And so I was making sure that I just looked put together, and I wore dresses and blazers and things like that. And it was all because somebody had said, like, if you want to do this, you want to dress the part. And so I dressed professional all the time. And then pretty much it would be sloppy or professional. To the point when I moved to Oregon, I worked as a fundraiser in the beginning. And someone said to me, like, your style looks really like something's missing from it. And I'm like, well, what's missing? They're like, well, it's a little dated, but maybe I about died and they said that, but maybe you just need to put some accessories with it. And so I was never one of those folks that wore accessories until Outfit Formulas, because I just didn't know how to accessorize. That makes any sense. So what my style, I think, is like business casual, because I found like that mix between that professional and that kind of messy business casual fits that. So in looking back on things, I also had my colors done in the last 2 years, and I was wearing things that weren't my colors, though there's also people that say, forget the colors, just wear whatever you want. I have found that if I do stay within my colors, I look a lot better. So that transition has been knowing what my colors are and sticking to those colors and things that make me brighten up instead of look kind of drab.
I want to hear about your style mentors. Did you have any growing up, anyone that you kind of looked up to and said, oh, I want to dress like her? Just Someone you were drawn to.
Oh, definitely my mom, because she wore suits every day to work. So this was the 80s and early 90s, and she was a computer analyst. And so she had to dress up to work every day. So I saw her getting dressed and going to work, and I rarely saw her. I think she struggled with the sloppiness, like on the weekends, like jeans and a t-shirt. And, you know, she'd put like her hair like in a, like put it up. Like she didn't like people seeing her hair if it was messy. She'd always like put it up in a bandana. Like the messy bun was like the messy bun of the 80s. And also like any news anchor, especially when I worked in broadcast television, like in the news department, like they always were wearing fancy suits and things like that. Fancy suits. And so I was like, oh, I want to dress like that. Or Carol Schrader, who she is the same age as my mom. My mom passed away when I was 21. When Carol and my mom went to high school together, and she was a big news anchor in the Midwest. And I always just looked up to her style. And she's like 26 years more older than me. So maybe that dated thing, that's where I got it from, was the TV anchors and my mom. So
yeah, they always seem to have like that classic style, though. Every, like, you could tune into its TV anchor today and 20 years ago, and they're all just still kind of staying in that same lane, right? I wouldn't necessarily call it dated, but they do definitely have their style lane that they stay in for sure.
Yeah, it's a classic. So I guess I was going to say this in the beginning. I feel like my style is classic, and that's why a classic capsule is like the perfect thing for me, is because it's just easy. You can swap things out. I was doing some content for a underwear company right before we got on, and they were just like, we want to wear spring clothes. Well, I haven't updated my spring wardrobe yet, and I don't have anything from last year that fits. So that was kind of a challenge, but everything that I had was classic. It wasn't like flowery or bright. It was like a green dress and a jean jacket or a linen jacket. And it was more classic than I think that they are going towards. However, the content I was creating is geared towards my age group. So I feel like it's age appropriate kind of thing. It's timely for that. And it's more appropriate for, you know, who their demographic is. So when I was looking at it, I was like, all I really have is classic pieces. I don't have a cute, fun spring dress in my closet because I haven't even started to think about spring.
So you said your mom dressed up every day for work and she was wearing the suits. Were there any rules in your house around style and appearance when you were growing up?
No, I went to Catholic grade school. And so I wore literally a uniform every day, which took out all the decision making of what I'm going to wear every day. And then when I went to public high school, that's when I was just like, I'm going to dress the part. I was the yearbook editor. I was on the newspaper, you know, the newspaper team. I was in band, so we had to wear uniforms for that. I was kind of their nerdy high schooler. So, but I always made sure that I was like dressed up and put together before I got to school. And I carried that on to college. And I often found like casual Fridays were tough for me when I worked. It was in the workplace because I didn't have the best casual things to wear. So yeah, so there were not a lot of rules except for I had to wear my uniform to school. And there were times that my mom was like, you could totally wear a bikini. Like, let's get you a bikini. And I was like, I'm not wearing a bikini. Are you crazy? Just not wanting to show my body. And I actually see that with my 12-year-old sometimes. She would never wear a bikini, though she could pull one off at 12. She's also literally the same height and wears the same size clothes, the same size tops, not bottoms, that I do. And she's also like, feels like she's so tall and so much bigger than her classmates. And I'm just like, I was the same way. And I felt the same way. But just know that you could totally dress, you know, you could wear that bikini. So I always tell her that. And she's like, no, I can't do that.
Do you think that's kind of where the origins of that started, with those feelings?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like that awkward 11, 12 year old. So always much bigger than everybody. I should say, when I say bigger, I was tall. I was the tallest kid in my class in the sixth grade. And by the time I went into high school, I was not the tallest anymore. So I told her like, this is this weird couple of years right now. Like
early bloomer.
Yeah, you'll get it. You'll get through it. And then everybody will be just like you.
So you did get to explore style as a teen, which I think is really an important developmental phase for figuring out what our style identity is, what our style personality is. Did you get to shop often when you were growing up?
Yes, I did. My mom, however, she was very limited on what she would buy us because she didn't have to buy us back to school shopping. Well, when she did buy us back to school shopping, it had to do with our uniforms. When I went into high school, it was a little bit of a different story. She gave us kind of like an allowance and we got to pick whatever we wanted. And that was the time of, and you may remember this, Gap and Esprit and Colors of Benetton were big, and Guess jeans. So she was like, if you want the Guess jeans, if you want to wear the Esprit, you're going to have to pay for that. So I had to get, I shouldn't say had to, I had a summer job pretty much since the time I was 12 babysitting until I was 16. I started working in a grocery store and I literally spent all my money on clothes. And she was just like, aren't you going to save any of your money? And I just was kind of like, I want to dress in the, you know, the latest trends, the Guess triangle jeans and go to the Gap. My dad, so my parents were divorced and I only got to see my dad on the weekends. My dad loves to shop and that's one of his favorite things. And so he would take me to places like the Gap and would buy me like one thing from the Gap, but I had to buy the rest of the things myself. But I would get a job just so I could buy my back to school shopping or save up all that money. Where kids were saving up for bikes, I was saving up for Guess jeans.
You know where to invest that money.
Yeah. Who needs a savings account when you're 15?
Yes. So how do you feel like these experiences, is if there's a through line in all of this to where you're at today, were you able to connect any of the dots when you were looking through the photos and just thinking back over your history in the style space?
So when I was kind of looking back, I was just like, wow, like what would 15-year-old Shannon say to 49-year-old Shannon? Because I didn't feel very confident in what I was putting together. And I also went back then, I was just like, oh, I'm going to put everything with jeans. I literally put everything with jeans, the same three pair of jeans. If it didn't go with that, I didn't wear it. So I didn't wear a lot of blue because I didn't feel like blue would go with jeans. But guess what? Blue is one of those colors that looks really good on me. Even though navy is one of those colors that looks good on me, I get the like, oh my God, Catholic school girl vibes because that was our colors we had to wear. Like some people wear the red to school. Well, our school was navy. So looking back, I was just like, wow, 49-year-old Shannon would say to 15-year-old Shannon, who really started to like worry about what people thought about what I was wearing. Like, don't worry about what people think, you know. Well, we also didn't have Pinterest back then either. You can be fashionable wearing the jeans and adding things like black. I never wore black pants then. And the cream, I never wore white pants until Outfit Formulas, anything white. I was like, no, I can't do that. So just like seeing the little sparks of, I had this like Esprit, like fish shirt. It had fish all over it that people would always be like, that is the coolest shirt. So I really liked the fun patterns back then. And I like the fun patterns now. That's one of my favorite things about buying now is like, what print top am I going to get for spring or fall? And I got this fun one from Anthropologie that has mushrooms on it because I love mushrooms for some reason, just the mushroom print, anything. And I was like, oh, I'm going to style this with my, that's going to be my piece. But I also tried to be kind of bold when I was younger too. Like, but I was a jeans girl because I just thought jeans went with everything. I still wear a lot of jeans though.
I find it so fascinating to hear just how the simplest things influence your style today, just like the fish shirt. And you're like, oh, I like those fun patterns. I like the way that made me feel. I liked it when people noticed that, right? And yeah, how you're able to incorporate that into your pieces today. What is your relationship with trendy items now, since you do lean classic?
I have a hard time with the trendy items. And if I do buy them, I don't buy them from Nordstrom. I will buy them from somebody that's a little less expensive because I know they're trendy. I will spend more on the classic pieces than I will on the trendy pieces. And I was just having this discussion with somebody today because I was asked to do and you might be seeing this on my socials, like, how does somebody after they lose weight build a new wardrobe up? And I always say like the trendy pieces don't spend a lot of money on because they're trendy. So the classic pieces spend that on. But like I said, I spent a lot of money on nice jeans and had to watch somebody else take, I could put Poshmark to them, but so it's kind of funny to see that. Trendy things are scary for me.
I think you hit on a good point that If you aren't a huge trendy item person, then it's okay to buy the inexpensive version of that. And then if it's something that does, you know, have some longevity that you're wearing season after season, year after year, you can upgrade it, right? I love to use the example of my first pair of leopard flats. I spent $20 at Target on this pair of leopard flats that fell apart within 2 years. But I was like, I really liked that. That was an on-trend item at the time that became more of a classic. But then the next time I bought my leopard flats, I invested a little bit of money, and those I still have like 8 years later. So yes, it's smart to do that if you're just kind of on the fence about it and just really investing in those classic pieces that you can wear season after season, year after year. I love that. So smart.
It's so funny you bring up the leopard flats, because like that was one of the first things that I bought, and I probably bought them from Target, and I ended up investing on some that were from Rothy's that I still have and love. And then I hadn't worn them like in 2 years, and I was about ready, like, should I put these in the giveaway pile? And then they came back in style, and I was so excited that I still had those Rothy's. Like with shoes too, if they're a classic shoe, I will spend more money on it, spend a lot more money on it. Rothy's and Birdies are brands that I will go back to time and time again because they just last.
Shoes are always worth the investment for quality. I'm with you on that 100%. So I'd like to move into some of the roadblocks that you shared with me on your application and talk, you know, a little bit about how this has impacted the way you shop and feel. So now we're going to move a little bit into some of the roadblocks, you know, that you had already shared with us and some that you shared on your pre-show application. That number one is that after your 60-pound weight loss, you are struggling with showing your curves. And number two is that you want to feel great in your new body, but you're a little bit worried about what feels age appropriate for style. Another question that you answered was regarding your closet clean out. And you said your last one was in fall of 2023, which wasn't that long ago. Was this the clean out where you got rid of the baggier clothes that weren't working for you? Okay.
Yeah, I did a big clean out in the spring, and then I lost more weight from spring to fall. And I've stayed the same since October. So fall was the last time I really like went through everything. And it's just weird to see like my closet is empty. My husband, well, it's emptier than he's ever seen it, but it's just been empty.
So you feel like you're in a good space right now.
Yes.
Yes. Do you have any gaps in your wardrobe that you're still waiting to fill?
Well, we're not there yet. But I'm going to Mexico in a little over a month. And I need shorts. And I went to Mexico in December, and I realized I only had one pair of shorts that fit. So finding shorts or capris for spring and summer is one area that I need to really look into. I feel I'm good on just about everything. My cardigans are all way too big. My longer cardigans, which I feel like I've invested a lot of money in. So that is one area. So the shorts and the long cardigans that are oversized now. I can't even fit in most of my shorts.
What is your methodology for going about filling in the gaps in your wardrobe? Do you keep a list of things and kind of keep an eye out for it? Or what is your shopping style?
Mainly I leave it up to outfit formulas. Isn't that funny? I just leave like what? That. Like I'm like waiting for spring. Like, okay, when is the spring drop? Because I had to buy some shorts for Mexico because I'm going back, and I'm just like, I gotta have like one pair of shorts is not gonna cut it. So I did get like one pair of shorts from, I think it was Good American. And then somebody reached out and said, hey, as part of content creation, like we'll give you some clothes. And there was denim shorts in there, though they weren't exactly, but they weren't like when they came, I was like, I don't know if these are age appropriate. So
they weren't your heck yes item.
They were not heck yes. I would not have bought them. So I'll wear them, but they're not. Yeah.
Well, I love that you're waiting for the shopping list to come out. By the time this airs, the spring list will be out. So I am super excited to get that in your hands. And I hope you get weather to match your spring shopping list. Well, Shannon, I truly appreciate the vulnerability that it takes to share in this space. And I know it's not easy, and I don't take that lightly. So thank you for sharing your story with me. And I would love to just talk through some takeaways now with you and some actionable things that you can do going forward to hopefully make you feel more confident in your style, because ultimately that's what this is all about. We just want to feel confident in our clothes and the way we show up in the world. And you are such a beautiful example of showing up in the world as the best version of yourself. And I love, again, watching your transformation. Guys, I'm going to leave her social media handle in our podcast notes. You can get those at allisonlombatis.com/podcast. So you guys can check Shannon out. She is super inspiring. And I just love everything that she's doing. So First off, I want you to start experimenting with showing off your curves. I feel like you are willing to experiment in so many areas of your life, and this could just be a comfort zone thing to overcome, but there's also a little bit of that deeper work going on in there. And you're starting to ask yourself the right questions. Like, where did I start feeling like this? What phase of my life, you know, did I hear these messages? And I love that 49-year-old Shannon is able to go back and talk to 15-year-old Shannon. And I think that 15-year-old Shannon can also share some of her wisdom and insights with you as well. And it's really just about getting to that comfort level and choosing some pieces that do fit and flatter your body properly and show off the areas that you love. What body part do you love the most right now?
My waist, because I've never really showed my waist off before. And so I'm just like, okay, that's like one of the things people kept saying is, we can't see your waist. We can't see your waist. And I've had two children and I have some saggy skin, not as much sagging as a lot of people that lose weight have. So I think I was kind of like, I lost it all over, but I love seeing my waist now. So, and I probably would have shown it off before 60 pounds ago. I was showing it off 60 pounds ago. So I don't know what happened between that. So
then step one can be showing off your waist. And that is such an easy and doable thing for you. And the styles right now are really lending themselves toward waist defining looks. You know, we have the higher waisted jeans that are kind of hitting on that smallest part of your natural waist. And you can pair those up with maybe a bodysuit if the crop tops don't feel comfortable to you. I got to admit, I bought a crop t-shirt last week and I was like, yeah, no, this one's not going to work for me. I'm not doing this one. It doesn't fit my comfort level, but I was willing to give it a try and give it to my daughter. But still, there are ways that you'll be able to incorporate those pieces and start to show off your waist and really just getting more comfortable with that, dipping your toes in the water. Sometimes, like I said, it's something you try out around the house. A few years back, we put a hat on one of our shopping lists for a capsule. And I remember a lot of women were saying, I don't feel comfortable wearing the hat out in public. It's like drawing attention. And many of them started to wear it around the house. And, you know, then their husband would see it or their kids would see it or somebody would see it during the day and be like, oh, yeah, your hat looks cute. And that gave them that kind of confidence of that comfort level of seeing themselves in it and then being able to walk out of the house in public and not feeling, you know, silly or like you're drawing a lot of attention to yourself. But also, it is okay to take up space and it is okay to draw attention to yourself. And I think so many of us need to understand that getting older is a reason to embrace your style, what makes you uniquely you. And that's why I tell women, there is no such thing as age appropriate. I want you to dress in what feels you appropriate because you cannot go wrong. And that is what is going to help you to just sort of start unlocking this next transformation that you're making because truly you are, you know, shedding all of those old clothes. That closet clean out that you did was really symbolic, right? Of you saying, hey, I'm going to step out. These clothes may have made me feel safe, but they weren't doing me any favors, right? And now is the time for you to just really, truly lean into that, truly explore that, show up in the world, take up space, and be unapologetic about it. And I know this is a concept that you get so well, and it's just about exercising that muscle in this part of your life, just the same way that you're doing it every day when you show up on social media and exercise that muscle. It just gets easier and easier over time. And you're going to feel more and more confident as you do that. And honestly, I think that once you start dressing in clothing that is truly fitting and flattering the new body that you have, this is going to take you to that next level of confidence. And you're going to break through and just shine even brighter.
Yay. I love it. Thank you. I love that advice.
Yes. You know, age appropriate style is a myth, right? You know, we've got to focus on what feels you appropriate instead. Those heck yes items, dressing in the clothes that boost your confidence, the things that make you feel good. And this is really going to help you authentically show up in the world as your true self as well. And also, you mentioned body shape earlier. We do have that body shape guide in the Outfit Formulas membership. If you haven't gone through and done that in a while, now would be a good time to do it. You just need a measuring tape to take your measurements. I also have a chapter in the Ultimate Book of Outfit Formulas that you can check out that has the different illustrations of the pieces that work best for different body types. You might find that really useful too. And also, you may find that, you know, with these new styles that are showing off your shape, that there are pieces that are going to flatter that a little bit better. And then some other pieces. But that's really, this is really going to be about navigating your new shape with confidence. And I think when you nail that, like, the sky's the limit for you, honestly.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I forgot about the shape guide. I will go do that. So
awesome. Did you have any other questions for me today?
Well, I didn't have a question, but I wanted to circle back to something that I mentioned before we got on. So because I started showing my outfits and sharing them on social media and kind of sharing how I've been getting dressed since I've lost weight, now I have brands reaching out to me to work with them. And I owe it all to like showing my outfits every day and practicing that. I owe that all to Outfit Formulas. So I just wanted you to know that like this helped me build another stream of revenue. I don't know if you want to put that in your podcast.
No, I do. That's amazing. You slay those collabs. That is incredible. I love it. Love it. Love it. This is the power of showing up authentically, confidently, and stepping into the spaces. Yes.
Here's the thing. Not everybody can be a content creator. Like people want to be content creators, but it's like, it's something you kind of fall into. You don't wake up one day and go, I'm going to be a content creator. It's like you start sharing things and then it happens. It's so funny because I'll work with people that are like, I want to get brands reaching out and paying me. And I'm not considered an influencer, though some people would say that I am. I don't consider it that. It's more of the UGC content creation. Yes. Where a brand will reach out, I'll create the stuff for them, and then I give it to them to use. So it's less stressful than being an influencer. I love it.
I totally get that. I get that distinction. And I think the same thing. I'm like, I'm not an influencer. And then people will say, but you influence people. Okay. It's true. And you do. You influence people in the most positive and wonderful ways. And I love the energy that you bring to your space and to the world. Thank you so much, Shannon. This was an amazing conversation. And thank you. Thank you for your time and for sharing with us.
No problem.
I would love to hear your thoughts about today's conversation. Did you see yourself in any part of Shannon's story? Do you feel overwhelmed by trends? Do you find your style confidence is challenged as your body changes? Let's open a dialogue and connect. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube as Allison Lombatis, and I'd love to hear from you. If you share your thoughts about your own style story on social media, please tag me. I'd love to see it and cheer you on. Remember, you are worthy. Style is a skill anyone can learn, and closet contentment is possible. I believe in you. Thanks for tuning in.